Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska's all-Republican delegation to Congress voted to accept the Electoral College vote early this morning. The state's two U.S. senators and sole House member did not support a campaign by allies of President Trump to keep him in office despite his loss to Joe Biden. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Murkowski ran for her life at one point. She doesn't mind telling you it was frightening.
Yeah, I was scared. I was scared for the country. But I'm going to be going to bed tonight knowing that we're going to get through this too.
Murkowski has a tiny satellite office known as a hideaway on a lower level of the Capitol, facing the mall. She was there when the mob first breached the outside barriers. As it happens, her windows are temporarily blocked by the risers erected for Biden's inauguration, so her hideaway didn't get vandalized like the offices on the level above.
I've got pictures of these huge, beautiful, rounded, curved windows that have been smashed in and are now all boarded up, the glass everywhere, furniture thrown wildly.
She was in the Senate chamber when the insurgents stormed the Capitol building. Murkowski says they were told to evacuate quickly.
And that's when it gets a little scary because everyone is trying to move all at the same time.
The senators and staff were directed to an underground tunnel to one of the Senate office buildings. In the mass of people, Murkowski saw Senator Dan Sullivan a few steps ahead of her. She says she put her arm through his.
We went hand in hand running. He's pretty fit. And I was wearing good running shoes today. So we set the pace. We got to the secure area before anybody else.
From there, Murkowski says they saw the horrors unfold on video. To Alaskans who believe the president's false claims, Murkowski says the election was not fraudulent. There were some problems in some parts of the country, Murkowski says, but nothing significant enough to change the election outcome.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been duly elected.
She says it's important that the House and Senate went back into session once the invasion was put down. The mob, she says, can delay proceedings, but the mob does not rule. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Two more Alaskans have died of COVID-19. The State Department of Health and Social Services reported yesterday that two Anchorage men, one in his 60s, the other in his 70s, were the latest Alaskan virus fatalities, bringing the state's pandemic-long death toll to 219. As of Tuesday night, there were 18 new COVID-19 hospitalizations, with 94 confirmed and another 7 suspected virus patients in Alaska hospitals. 6 were on ventilators. The DHSS announced 342 new Alaska resident virus cases, with the highest totals in Anchorage, where there were 112, Fairbanks with 55, and Wasilla with 43. The YK Delta region continues to have the highest daily new case rate at over 142 per 100,000 people, followed by the Mat-Su at 42, the Fairbanks North Star Borough at 36, and Anchorage at 35. A state system for Alaska seniors to book appointments to get COVID-19 vaccinations opened yesterday, and it didn't go smoothly. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
John Palms is 74 years old and lives in Juneau. He decided to get up early on Wednesday to try to beat the rush to get a vaccination appointment. He went to the website that public health officials have been steering eligible people like him to, covidvax.alaska.gov. He clicked a link to schedule an appointment.
First, I found a bewildering map.
It's a map of the state with pins for individual pharmacies and healthcare providers that intend to administer the vaccine. Click on a pin and you get some contact info for each provider and a link to their website. So it's basically a directory, not a centralized booking site like Palms and others were expecting.
It took hours and I finally figured it out. I signed up, but I had no idea whether I could have gotten an injection earlier someplace else because there's no central coordination of anything, it doesn't look like.
The forms on different websites seemed broken in various ways. In the end, he got an appointment the old-fashioned way.
When I was on the phone, it was impossible on the web.
Juneau Senator Jesse Keel said Wednesday he was hearing similar stories all afternoon.
A lot of frustration, and I think the department stumbled.
That's the Department of Health and Social Services. Tessa Walker-Linderman with the department leads a state COVID-19 vaccination task force.
The bottom line is that we had a limited amount of appointments and a lot of people wanting to make an appointment.
She and other state health officials in a press availability on Wednesday acknowledged it's been bumpy and cumbersome for users. They had considered a single vaccine appointment system, but healthcare providers wanted to use their own. Public health advisor Kelsey Pistotnik explains.
This is a really challenging time for our providers, and they are trying to navigate so much right now. And so I think we really just came from that standpoint of, can we just make one part of this easy for them, that if they already have a system in place that they are familiar with, that, you know, can we do that? But I think we do need to go back to the drawing board a bit here and see what we can do on the user perspective, just to make sure we can button this up a little better so that it's not quite as cumbersome.
They say part of the challenge has been getting more healthcare providers up to speed to administer the vaccine. More clinics, providers, and appointments will be added to the site as they come online. And some communities are stepping in with mass vaccination events. Juneau has one planned for mid-January, if the vaccine shows up. It would be the first in the state. Health officials say Anchorage, Mat-Su, Fairbanks, and Kenai may follow. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink says the decision to open up this broad tier of eligibility for Alaskans 65 and older came last week, as demand from the last tier was falling off and vaccination appointments were opening up.
Do we want to be able to do this a bit faster? It's going to be a rough week.
For some perspective, she says this is only the third week of vaccinations, and Alaska is fifth in the nation for vaccinations per capita. She also offered an apology.
We understand that it's an imperfect system, and we are sorry for that, and we are constantly trying to improve the system.
In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
When the COVID pandemic initially accelerated last summer in Alaska, state health officials ramped up the Echo video conference platform to share information and answer questions. As KiwiSea's Robin reports, one of the Echo hosts went from being a student to monitoring seminars with hundreds of participants.
Jose Flores of the Center for Human Development says the platform's acronym, ECHO, stands for Extension for Community Healthcare Outcomes.
It started in New Mexico back in 2003, if I'm correct, and it started with the hepatitis C pandemic.
Now UAA is one of 14 super hubs for Echo online sharing. If you've ever been invited to a COVID call or watched one on Facebook Live, you see a person from the University of Alaska Anchorage's Center for Human Development hosting the discussion. For many of those calls, Jose Flores is the host.
Most of the echoes that I currently do are COVID-related, but there are also other echoes, such as the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Echo, Pain and Opioid Management Echo.
Flores says he lost his bartending job in the pandemic, and a teacher pointed him at the job hosting online discussions.
I've been going to school over at UAA, getting a degree in human services, and I was bartending as well. And when the pandemic hit, the restaurant, you know, laid off, I want to say, over 90% of their employees.
So Flores went from being unemployed to working from home 10 hours a day, hosting hundreds of people on each call.
Working with these really knowledgeable and great public health people that we have in the state and turn into this thing that I was not expecting it would turn into, which is what 2020 has been like, really.
And the seminars hosted by the Center for Human Development that are just about COVID-19 include one for Alaska schools, one for houses of worship, one for ambulance personnel, one for dentists, one for caregivers, one for contact tracers, one for people hosting large gatherings, sports, and community events, and of course, now, several times a week, one about vaccines.
Vaccine Echo is currently our highest attended, anywhere from 500 to, like, I don't know, 1,200 people sometimes.
He says the Center for Human Development is short-staffed and is trying to hire more people. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.